Again, we're doing things a bit differently here today. We have Terry Smith, who's from CBM, who has shared with us some of the works the Quawks are doing and some another CBM project. But I thought it would be good to speak a shorter sermon. I'm hoping it's going to be shorter for a few reasons on this topic. First, money is a huge idol in our culture. When charitable givings have plummeted in Canada and debt load is at an all-time high and has just skyrocketed in the last 10 years since I've been looking at debt loads of Canadians, we kind of find out what's important to us, don't we? We find out what's really important. Obviously not giving to charities and sharing and obviously consuming more for ourselves so much that we have to go into more debt. As well, dealing with money properly will help in your marriage. The number one fight in marriage is, guess what? Money. The number one cause for divorce in marriage is money. Three, we need to be aware that the Lord wants us to give generously, not only to the church, but to support world mission and world aid that is accompanied by gospel work, gospel preaching. So I want to do just a quick background on the book of Proverbs. As most of you know, I'm translating Proverbs right now. I'm two-thirds through, and I love this book. 90 verses, over 90, speak about money in Proverbs. So basically 10% of Proverbs speaks about money. Isn't that a coincidence? But these verses are not put into three chapters or four chapters. They're spread throughout the whole book. The author of Proverbs has not, well, there's actually authors, have not organized topics in systematic order. The first 7-8 chapters are somewhat systematic. He speaks in 5 and 6 and 7 in blocks about not committing adultery and being sexually pure, and sometimes about wisdom in chapter 8. But a lot of these money, the talking about money is actually spread throughout, verse here, verse there. We also know that Proverbs were written to young men. Who here is a young man? Only one? Young men, probably not married, guessing by Proverbs 31 that says, hey, this is the kind of woman you should look for. But you just hear the love in some of these verses. If you look to, if you don't have your Bible or if you grab your Bible, keep it open to the book of Proverbs. We're going to be going all throughout this book, all throughout the book of Proverbs. But look at Proverbs 1:8. You can almost just hear it. Hear, my son. Just please listen to me. Listen to your father's instruction and forsake not your mother's teaching. This is someone who's speaking to his child, to young men. Listen to your parents and their wisdom. Also 3:1-2, my son, do not forget my teaching. 4:10, hear my son. 4:20, my son, be attentive to my words. That phrase, my son, listen or pay attention is probably, it's just used so many times in Proverbs. If you want a star, write down all the times it's used, and you know, I'd be impressed if you were to do that over the week. But it's used so many times. As well, the author gives us wise living, what it means to live in fear of the Lord, what it means to be in relationship with the Lord. Wisdom is fear of the Lord, fearing God. And the authors are three. This is all in your insert. Proverbs 1:1, Solomon. Proverbs 10:1, Solomon. Proverbs 25:1, Solomon. And then we have two extra authors in chapter 30 and 31. Chapter 30, verse 1, we have Agur, and then we have in 31, King Lemuel, what his mother taught him. He's writing down what his mom taught him. So that's important to know. Now we can come to our 5 points. I've kind of taken all these 100 verses, I've looked at them, and I've compiled them. I've left some out, but I've compiled them into 5 specific categories. First, your money is not your own. Second, wisdom is better than wealth. Three, money will not last. Four, save and avoid debt. Five, be generous with the money God has given you. So I've become un-Baptist. There's not three, there's five. But they're all very important. First, your money is not your own. You might be just going off the rails with me right now. You're thinking that, oh, I must want some of my money if he's saying that. Because your name's on your bank account. Only you can go into bank XYZ and the money in your bank account and take it out, assuming that you haven't given away your password or whatever. But the book of Proverbs, and thus God would call the same view, this view of the average Canadian, that my money is my money, is actually selfish. Proverbs, and all the Bible teaches, is what we call God's providence, his rule over the earth. And to miss this clear and obvious teaching, you really have to carve out so many verses in Proverbs that everything you have is from God. And even if you say, I've worked for it, God's given you the ability to work for it. Therefore, in essence, it's from God. But I'm going to read Proverbs 16, 1 to 4. If you want to turn there or look in your insert there. The plans of the heart belong to man. But the answer is of the tongue, is from the Lord. All the ways of man are pure in his own eyes. Isn't that our culture? Aren't we just the best and we're morally superior than you because we support XYZ and you don't support that? But the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. You notice that? Committing it to the Lord, it will be established. The Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. The Proverbs and the rest of the Bible teach that you're not your own. You're made for a purpose. Every breath, every blessing, every trial even comes from the Lord. But this teaching sometimes upsets people, but it's clear here in Proverbs. All that being said, know for certain that everything that you have is not your own. You belong to God, and your stuff is God's stuff. You're merely a steward of the blessings that God has given you. I even think of Job. He cries out, the Lord gives and what? Lord takes away. What's the next? Blessed be the name of the Lord. He saw everything. Remember, he lost some pretty serious things. But he saw everything as coming from God and God could take it away. Praise the Lord, he says. So there's your first, your money is not your own. Second, wisdom is better than wealth. Now this is, imagine if you put this on a shirt and you went to Lotto 1 this week. Most non-Christian people would disagree with this statement because they would ask, what could be better than money? Nothing. I remember a popular song back in the 80s. It was actually 1990. It was, I want money, lots and lots of money. I want the pie in the sky. Group called Conway, I think it was called. And I couldn't find their net worth, which means they don't have any money on the internet because they know they're not that famous. But it was a shameless self-promotion that the singer wanted money and more money. He wanted pie in the sky. He was just honest. I want money, lots and lots of money. It's actually a good, clean song with a good beat if you want to listen to it later. That's everyone's dream in Canada, it seems. They dream, and I don't see much lottos here, but the last church I lived by, the number one lotto hut, everyone's dream was to win the lotto so you could just have an amazing life. They spent buckets of cash and never win anything. They spent lots of lottos. If they could have taken that money and saved it wisely, they would have had lots of money in their retirement. But many people say, well, it's entertainment to buy lottos. Well, if you're going to do that, let's do something fun with money. How about you save up the money for the month that you would spend on lottos? Let's go to like an Ice Dogs game and let's just start throwing $5 into crowds. That would be more exciting and more useful of your money. But the proverb sees money as something from God, but its wisdom is better. Hear what he says in Proverbs 16:16. How much better to get wisdom than gold? Whoa. Especially when it's at the price it's at, even though it's not the highest, but wisdom is better than gold. To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. Whoa. Proverbs 28, verse 6. Better a poor man who walks in integrity, who's following the Lord and functioning under the wisdom of God, better that than a rich man who is crooked in his ways. What is wisdom, of course? According to the Proverbs, we already said, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And now that we know post-death and resurrection, the wisdom of God is to be wise in knowing the wisdom of God, which is Jesus Christ. That's wisdom. Knowing the Lord Jesus. Wise living means you die to yourself. You leave your sin. You confess your sin. And you leave it, you forsake it, and you trust and embrace and believe in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Live for Him. That is wisdom. Living, serving, delighting in Jesus is better than Dream Home, Freedom 55, or whatever else that you can plop in there that is stuff. Your dream life of ease on earth. So wisdom is better than wealth. Here's one that takes us a little bit of getting used to. Number three, money will not last. So for those of you who are young, it might seem hard to believe, but you're not going to live forever. We might, or you might not, live past 20. You don't know. We all know the tragedies that happen and have happened out west. Life is short. But how much more fleeting is money and earthly possessions that we accumulate? What will, just going to ask that question, what will that killer brand new truck, that killer brand new boat, and maybe Terry was tempted to buy a boat here seeing all these lakes and spend that money, that beautiful car, that house, that recreational property do for you at your death? Absolutely nothing. Proverbs 11 verse 4 makes this clear. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Proverbs 23 verse 4 and 5. Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it's gone. For suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven. Does he think money is eternal? Anybody? No. Proverbs 28, verse 6. Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than a rich man who is crooked in his ways. It's better to walk with integrity because wealth is not going to last. Having lots of money, or even in fact having no money, is somewhat irrelevant in Proverbs because money will not last. But what will matter is how much you actually live for the Lord. What you own will not provide righteousness. Only Jesus Christ and his work upon the cross can provide that righteousness. And Keith, I looked at the notes, Rosalie's notes, she did a great job explaining that righteousness. Remember, go back to last week, that righteousness that Christ provided. We couldn't provide righteousness on our own. Only Christ could provide it. But the question is did you leave your sin, carry your cross, and trust in the Lord Jesus and his work on the cross for your righteousness? So wealth will not last. Here's the one that I might get a purse over the head or maybe even get punched out for, but it's worth it. Save and avoid debt. I did the unthinkable this week. Unthinkable. I imagined what it would cost me, I called a boat place. I said, I want a boat that is $60,000. I want two ATVs. I want two snow machines because we got to be a family together, right? So I calculated I wanted a great boat, two snow machines, two great ATVs, and it would cost me around $120,000. Okay, not too bad, I guess. No big deal. I can't pay for all that up front. I wanted to finance it. So I talked to the local boat and AT dealer to figure out how much that would cost me over 20 years. How much per month and how in 20 years? $900 a month for 20 years. Every month, you basically pay double for everything. ATVs, snow machines, boats. So I'm paying about $240,000 over that 20-year period. Sounds like a good idea. Imagine, I just want to step back. Let's just think because Terry's here. Imagine if we would have bought something used and spent like $50,000. Imagine if we just took that $100,000 and gave it to Sedan over 20 years. How would that have affected gospel kingdom work? Good question. We haven't even got into the financing of appliances, TVs, computers, MasterCard debt that we pay that many people are entrenched in. It has been said that debt is for people who can't do math. I don't know. I don't know if I want to be that harsh, but it's certainly that statement could be true. God knows this, though. God knows this because people were borrowing money back then, especially in Proverbs. And it warns us about the dangers of debt. God knows that when you owe something, and specifically large amounts of money, that's a bondage on you. You're indebted to that person. If you don't understand this, just listen to the Dave Ramsey podcast. It's hours and hours and hours. You could probably listen to 100 hours of people under the bondage of debt. And it's an interesting thing to listen to. But Proverbs 22, verse 7, God knows, the rich rules over the poor and the borrower is slave to the lender. That's God's word on debt. God speaking Proverbs does not want all the blessings of our finances to be given out or be going out to other people because we didn't have the discipline to save and purchase things responsibly. The Lord wants us to make wise decisions with the finances He has given us. I was talking to someone at Safeway or Starbucks. Oh, I'm speaking on this topic. And they go, well, I got a line for you because this is an older gentleman. And I said, he's probably going to say something good. And he did. He said, if you didn't eat it yesterday, you probably don't need it today. And he said, of course, food and all the normal things. But when it comes to those consumer discretionary, that's the big word, maybe you don't need it. And there was a guy in the last church that would always go to his kids. And he said it in a French accent. When they were going to buy something stupid, he'd say, is that a want or is that a need? Good question. But Proverbs does talk about saving, especially having a margin in your household multiple times. We're just going to read two. Proverbs 21, verse 17. Whoever loves pleasure will be a poor man. Imagine if I lived out all the recreational pleasures in Dryden, side by sides. Oh, it could be endless. Boats. You name it. Well, I'll be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. Proverbs 21, verse 20. Precious treasure and oil are in a wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man devours it. Be wise, save, is what Proverbs is getting at there. Final point. Be generous with the money that God has given you. Many people, when they read the book of Proverbs, think God intends us to be greedy and selfish. Kind of like a Mr. Burns or a stingy Scrooge. Well, you haven't read the whole book. Hear how many times, this is a mind blow, how many times God declares that we must be generous. Do you have your Bibles open or your insert? Proverbs 3, 9 to 10. honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Oh, that's just one verse. Well, let's read five more. Whoever despises his neighbor is a sinner, but blessed is he who is generous to the poor. Proverbs 14:31. Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, referring to the Lord. But he who is generous to the needy honors him, honoring the Lord. 19, verse 17. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. Whoever has a bountiful eye, Proverbs 22, verse 9, will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor. Proverbs 28, verse 27. Whoever gives to the poor will not want, but he who hides his eyes will get many a curse. We've just quoted some of the Proverbs. We haven't even got into Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah, which speak heavily about neglecting the poor. Now, there's a way that a person could think that a Christian could be stingy and greedy. There's no way that anyone can think a Christian, according to Proverbs, could be stingy or greedy with these verses concerning their money. Well, to our application. Sorry, I've gone a bit over, but hopefully you'll forgive me. Three points. First, trust the wisdom of God, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified. I hope that many of you see that people serve money. Their whole life purpose is to own many possessions. And I'm thankful for those people that are rich, that are actually honest with me, that are extremely depressed because they tell me that what they've accumulated has actually brought them more sorrow. I'm blessed to experience those conversations. And it's, of course, an ability to minister. And not just rich people, many poor people can have the same thing. They can have money as an idol as well, but it's not just the rich. The poor sometimes can be just as money greedy as the rich. But God calls us to turn away from trusting and delighting in earthly possessions, delighting in earthly possessions, and trust the true wisdom of God, Jesus Christ. Look at Jesus, whom Paul writes he was rich. He had the richness and the perfect fellowship with the Father and the glory of the Lord, but Jesus became poor by means of his death upon the cross. 2 Corinthians, any of you quizzers know? 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became pure, or poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. What a wonderful testimony of the gospel right there in that verse. Jesus was rich, he became poor, so that we could become rich. Rich in knowing God. And Paul speaks in 1 Corinthians, dealing with people who love to talk about wisdom. Paul says that the Corinthian wisdom was foolish, but Jesus Christ and the preaching of him crucified is the true wisdom from God. This wisdom wasn't a cool thought either, like they often would discuss. It was a cruel death of a suffering Savior for sinners. 1 Corinthians 1:24, but to those whom are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the what? Wisdom of God, Christ in him crucified. Today, if you're outside Jesus Christ, leave the love of yourself. It might even mean leaving the love of your money or the love of something else. Leave it. On the day of judgment, these earthly things are no more. There's that famous, you never see a U-Haul following a funeral. My father-in-law wants to do that, but he wants it empty, following his hearse. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in his work. Trust not in earthly wisdom, but God's wisdom, Jesus Christ, and him crucified. It's amazing that Jesus would become poor so we could experience the richness of God. Knowing God through Jesus Christ, cleanse sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit and the hope of heaven is true richness. Second, don't hope or trust in wealth. We all know beauty's fleeting. but how much more money in the hope of money. Imagine if you worked so hard for your whole life, spent your whole life working, not serving the Lord, not being with family, that at the end of your life, you're in the nursing home and you have buckets of cash and you can't even enjoy it. This is the foolishness of living for money. Or at the end of your life, you've not dealt with money properly and you have to rely upon your kids or even the government to take care of you because you have no money and are loaded with debt. And you hear lots of those calls on the Dave Ramsey podcast. At the end of your life, that moment you did everything that you've lived for on earth and that had nothing to do with Jesus mean absolutely nothing. Nothing. It will not matter what you own because someone else is going to own it now. Hopefully someone that you like. Proverbs 10 verse 2, treasures gained by wickedness do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. But maybe you're struggling with the love of money because it's a very big idol. We probably all do. This is not just me lecturing you. This is all of us because we're in a culture that focuses upon this so much. Or maybe you're the poorest person here to the richest. This is something we all struggle with. Confess your sins to the Lord. Here's something to do. Even read the 100 verses on money in Proverbs and allow the Lord to speak to you. And I put them in there. You know how long it took me to write all those in there for you? But joke. Put them in there so you could go after and look at them and examine your heart. You can just say, well, this sermon's garbage. That's up to you. But I want you to look at the Word of God for yourself and examine your own heart according to the Word of God. So those are there for you to look at and examine your heart. Finally, be generous with the money God gave you. It's a joy to do that. There's a song by a group called XTC. I'm probably the only one here that knows that group. Is anyone in that group? Probably not. Oh, Peter would because he's into cool music like me. They wrote a song. This song actually isn't cool. It's called Dear God. And it writes, but all the people, it's a song that they're saying God doesn't exist. And then they say, God, you do all these things. Therefore, I can't believe in you. Therefore, you don't exist. It's funny. They're writing a song to a God they don't believe exists, which is very interesting. But they write this. But all the people that you've made in your image, see them starving on the street because they don't have enough to eat from God, can't believe in you. Many times I've heard, though, that actually obesity is a bigger problem in the world than hunger. I didn't ask Terry about that at his take, but I've heard that actually a lot. So that means that there's not a problem with God providing food, but people distributing food. God is not starving people. Like XTC says, people are starving people. If you have 2 quarters to rub together or you have $1 million, all of it is from the Lord. All of it. The Lord wants you and us, me, you, to give generously to the local church. The Lord wants you to give generously to ministries like CBM that do gospel work by trying to relieve the poor and hunger. See how many times the book of Proverbs mentions the blessedness, those who are generous with the poor. Are you generous with what the Lord has given you, or are you a stingy Scrooge? Only you can answer that. I'm not going to go and hack your bank account and your RSP and figure that out. You know, and you have to examine that. Are you generous with what the Lord has given you? Hear the words of Christ on giving. To give you us all some motivation. Luke 21 verse 1 to 4. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box, and he saw a poor widow put in 2 small copper coins. And he said, truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she gave out of the poverty, put in all that she had to live on. We pray that we would be such a people that would live in such a way. Amen.